Israel is furious at the US for not using its veto to block a resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza, which allowed it to pass. The decision by the US to abstain from the vote is perhaps the most significant evidence of a growing rift between the Biden and Netanyahu administrations over the war in Gaza. But whatever Washington's frustrations with Tel Aviv, there's no suggestion yet that the US is prepared to halt weapons shipments to Israel. Ambassador Alon Pincus was Israel's consul general in New York from 2000 to 2004 and a foreign policy advisor to Ehud Barak and Shimon Peres. And he's now a senior columnist at Haaretz and joins us this morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Patricia. Good to be with you.
The US is not only Israel's most important ally, but has delivered unwavering and unconditional support to Israel. What's happening? What's going wrong?
Well, in one word or two words? In one word, it's Netanyahu. In two words, it's Benjamin Netanyahu. He is the source. He is the sole generator of this rift and this crisis, this ongoing crisis in the relationship. And that's been going on even before the war began on October 7th. So what you're seeing now is, in fact, the climax point. Well, perhaps we haven't reached the climax point, but it looks as if this is the climax point of an ongoing crisis under his tutelage, under his on his watch, so to speak.
This is a really significant decision from the United States. Does it signify that they are serious and there could be further moves, like, for instance, stopping shipments of ammunition?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question, Patricia, because you could look at it in two ways. One is to say, okay, read the UN Security Council resolution number 2728, and you see that it calls for a ceasefire for effectively 2 weeks. Because it states specifically that the ceasefire will apply to the month of Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan for Muslims. There are only 2 weeks left in Ramadan. So the ceasefire is for 2 weeks. And the fact that the U.S. Refrained from casting its veto is not a big deal. The other way of looking at it, and you hinted to it in your question, in your remark, Patricia, is that this is a big deal because it is a departure from U.S. policy. Not only has the U.S. not demanded a ceasefire since October 7th, but now it is demanding an immediate, well, now it is party to a U.N. Security Council resolution, demanding an immediate ceasefire. And that reflects the loss of patience and the aggravation and irritation that the U.S. feels toward Mr. Netanyahu ever since the war began.
Axios has cited three U.S. officials saying Netanyahu is provoking a crisis with the White House for Israeli domestic politics. What do you make of that?
Yep. I think it's absolutely right. I'm not the issue and I'm not the subject of our conversation, Patricia, but I wrote this as early as November, that Mr. Netanyahu has deliberately set the course for a confrontation with the Biden administration. Now, that is sort of counterintuitive and it doesn't seem logical to the interested bystander or observer, saying why would he do that? The U.S. is Israel's largest benefactor. It is a staunch ally. It is a superpower. It is, as you said in your opening remark, has provided Israel with unwavering support. I'm sorry, both material and political. So why would Netanyahu do that? Well, there are two reasons for that. I'll name them shortly. The first is that Mr. Netanyahu wants to distance himself from October 7th. He can only do that by concocting or inventing a parallel narrative. This is really not about October 7th. This is about a much bigger thing. The U.S. trying to superimpose on Israel a Palestinian state, and only he is equipped heroically to stand to the U.S. and stand up to the U.S. and prevent that. The second is more practical. He is seeking an intentional confrontation so he can turn President Biden into the scapegoat that prevented him, supposedly, hypothetically, from achieving a so-called total victory over Hamas. Any way you look at it, if you choose the first, the second, both, or neither, there's a confrontation in the making.
You've worked for four foreign ministers and a prime minister. Will a large-scale Israeli raid on Rafah invariably lead to mass civilian casualties?
By definition, there are 1.4 million people, 1,400,000 people concentrated in the south of Gaza. Roughly half, perhaps more than half of them, Patricia, have been asked driven by Israel to flee into the south of Gaza when Israel invaded the northern part of Gaza, of the Gaza Strip. And so if Israel does launch a large-scale military operation, supposedly to destroy and eradicate the four Hamas battalions that still operate in that area, if it uses artillery, tanks, and aerial bombardments, there are bound to be thousands of civilians casualties. There's no way around that. If you ask me, there's not going to be a huge operation in Rafah.
Why not?
Mr. Netanyahu. Well, because Mr. Netanyahu doesn't want to. He just wants to say that he was on the verge of doing it. He was on the precipice of this major victory, or total victory, as he calls it, but that President Biden prevented him. That does not preclude, Patricia, a smaller operation, you know, incursions, so-called intelligence-driven surgical strikes. That's fine. But a large-scale operation, meaning large tank and infantry formations actually invading the south of Gaza, I honestly don't see that happening.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, Patricia. Thank you.
Ambassador Alon Pincus is a former consul general in New York, foreign policy advisor to former prime ministers, and a senior columnist at Haaretz. You're listening to ABC RN Breakfast.